is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 354. When you step on the MIT campus, your IQ goes up 5 points. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech, gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
Pandalicious.
And we've got a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
So,
how you doing?
I'm feeling empowered. Baby.
Really? Are you
no,
like,
not really. Not really.
Why you lie? Why you lie me? Not lime-y, but lime-y.
No. I don't lime you.
No, don't lime me. I'm more of a sweet than sour.
Maybe.
Don't start. Don't start.
Maybe
we were having a really good weekend, so don't.
I know,
don't,
we were bonding.
Don't take it to that place. We were doing so
experience.
Well. We're doing so good.
I laughed, cried, and sneezed.
Yeah, you did sneeze
a
couple times. Are you sure you don't have allergies?
No, I do.
Oh. You should probably take something for that.
Nah, because I'm a thug. Oh,
no, that would just be dumb,
thugs
actually.
Thugs don't use drugs.
No, thugs actually.
Shh.
All right, you know what? Before we go off on that tangent.
What a horrible tangent.
That would be a really bad tangent to start the show on. Let's just bring that back around.
We are. See, I'm totally not engaging.
We're gonna come back around because we want to know how your week was and talk about, you know, stuff that's interesting to you. Our loyal and awesome fans, communities, listeners, friends, geeks in common. So we got some answers to our question that we asked last week.
Not nearly as many as I was hoping for, but I'm
hoping. Well, that's because maybe somebody didn't necessarily
tweet or put it out there as much as they were supposed to. I'm owning up to my mistake.
Maybe
I did not tweet enough.
Maybe more than 3 tweets is what you need to get real penetration.
Whoa.
What?
Anyway.
There's a lot of conversation going on in Twitter.
Anyway.
You didn't even use the hashtag You were supposed to use embarrassing game.
That too.
Yeah, after I put it out there.
Yeah.
In the middle of the week when I was like, hey, where are all the tweets? And I go to look for the hashtag and it's like, there's nothing with the hashtag.
I'm going
to
be better at it. But let's
you
just
think,
do
you think? Do you
so
think?
So for our first interactive question, we'd ask you, what was the most embarrassing game that you currently still own? And we got 3 responses from that.
Next week, we're going for 6.
I'd like to double it. I'd like 6 responses.
We would like 100%
growth. We give you guys a week. We give you 7 days.
And now, Panda's going to be tweeting more than once every 2 days in that 7 days.
So, you guys you'll have ample amount of time to think of the answer for your question. But that question will not come until later on in the show. But let's talk about the answer that we got and then share with you guys our answers.
Okay, so the first one that I want to talk about, answer that we got, it was kind of funny because I don't really think of it as an embarrassing game, but I had to take a step back and go, well, if
it's
I'm not
a, me saying it.
Correct. So if I'm not like a great gamer and a great dancer.
Yes.
Or if I'm not typically down with the rhythm genre.
Maybe instead of being on the 2/4, I'm on the 1/5.
You know, and if my thing is like strategy and tabletop and, you know, the things that are the complete opposite side of the spectrum from rhythm, then maybe I could understand why it would be embarrassing to own.
Or maybe, just maybe,
Dance Central,
this particular person is actually really good at dancing, but nobody knows that he's good at dancing.
They're a closet rhythm gamer?
Yeah, or just with, like, closet male guys who know how to dance that are straight.
No, we need more of you to come out of the closet.
I know, but there are some. Like, there have been
don't be in the closet about that.
Done,
be out and proud
about that.
No, no, be out and proud
about men faking
you can
bad
dance.
Dancing.
Come on,
so that
no, no, you can dance. You can dance if you want.
You can dance. Show it. You can leave your cares behind.
Okay, because if friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no,
no
friends,
friends
of mine. So it's okay.
So that one kind of took me back too a little bit.
But you know, but again, you got to think about it. You know, not from our perspective.
I mean,
you
know, and you're a better dancer than me. I fuck up all the time.
I know, but see, if you drink enough, you don't care.
I think that's the point. Add more drinking to your rhythm-based.
Exactly.
And
they don't call it
fun.
Libation for nothing.
Because you lie to yourself.
Well, I was going to say you get lively when you have libations.
Oh, you went live. Like,
yeah.
I went live.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, and they help you do that, too. So what I'm saying is drink more. But drink responsibly.
Don't worry, Jace Down. We ain't going to let you. We ain't going to tell people.
No, no. Oh, wait. Whoops.
Jace Down Productions. We're totally not name dropping.
Actually, we are name dropping. But we told you we were going to name drop it. So anyway, so that was one that was really interesting to me that came in. Yeah. And then we had another one that, you know, I as soon as I saw it that came through on Twitter, I had to agree with the moment. Literally, I saw the photo of the game pack. I knew what game it was. And I was like, yeah, that is kind of an embarrassing one. So we got one from Flacco Jones.
Flacco Jones.
So thanks for answering the question. And
thanks for providing the proof.
Yes. We love visual confirmation.
You get five
because,
points of awesome for
because,
being
like,
awesome enough to show
I expected someone
alone.
To be like, oh, I owned E.T. the game for the Atari. No, you didn't. That's
I
why
own the whole landfill filled with all the ones that they didn't sell.
They're underneath our pool. You can't be like that. So I was really glad to see, like, visual proof as well of, no, seriously, I do actually own the game. And the game that Flacco had was the BMXXX, you know, the 3X.
XX?
Yeah, BMXXX, the adult
right.
BMX
right.
biking game.
Jeez.
So this was, like, when this game came out when all of the motocross alternative sports games were really popular. So you had Tony Hawk, I think at the time, 3
right.
was out.
Right, Skater hadn't happened yet.
Right. You know, so you didn't have Skate yet and all those kinds of guys. And so it was decided that to kind of be real alt and just out there and try to bridge the gap between...
We're going
to
show you titty.
Mature and AO... This thing came out of nowhere, and what was really surprising and what really made me tip my hat to Flacco was that he had the game on the GameCube, and that was the thing that was, like, really, really surprising was that you got that it actually made it past Nintendo, because, you know, they have a very rigorous protocol
of
screening games.
It might have been games. During a meeting.
No, I mean, it's blurred out, like, most of the stuff that was, you know, the ridiculous... boobs and naked writing. I mean, everything was pixelated and blurred out, but it still was on the platform. But yeah,
it's like scrambled porn on your Channel 3. Every once in a while, you got like a clear shot of a titty, or like a mouth,
or sometimes you got a butt though.
Butt,
and then you're like, something is going on there that I don't know that I necessarily want to be a part.
Clown face, and I'm like, this is a very weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I actually know the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
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 Because it was like a circus, but it wasn't a circus.
It was a circus, all right.
But it wasn't a circus.
It wasn't Barnum and Bailey.
That's for doggone sure. Speaking of Bailey's, No. Anyway.
So, but anyway, kudos to you, man. Thank you for answering our questions.
And thank you for, you know, jumping up and answering questions and being honest.
Let's be honest.
About games, your most embarrassing games, because we all have them.
Yes.
And really, we try not to own up to them.
Well, because we like to hide them, and we don't put them out for people like, hey,
and
you have this.
And sometimes we kind of, you know, buy into a game, and you don't know that it's going to be an embarrassing game until after you buy into it. And most of us, you know, we hide our dirty shame by taking it back and trading it in.
I don't.
But some of us, you know, we keep them as badges almost of, you know what? No, I did this. And I survived. I came out of the other side. You know, for me, my most embarrassing game that I own would be Nintendo Cats, which is the cat. Stop it! I have the cat.
Okay.
Raising Sim.
Okay, so
for my DS.
And I feel like there's a story here that needs to be.
Well, here's the thing. I can't actually have a physical cat because my husband is allergic. But I love animals. You know,
I love animals too.
We share a family dog, and by share, I mean I sometimes take responsibility for loving and taking it out.
Yes, that is the extent of your parentals of the family dog.
Okay, I'm being honest. I sometimes Okay, I'm not trying to be, you know, shady about it. I sometimes take responsibility for feeding, loving, and taking to do the bio break thing with the family dog.
Yes.
Okay? But I can't really own a cat. And so when I got my DS, which was an anniversary gift,
aww,
I was gifted my pet with the cat game. So I could have a cat.
Did you play the cat game?
I did.
Did you have hordes of cats?
I did not have a horde of cats.
Did you have, like, more than two cats? Were you a virtual cat lady?
I may have been a virtual cat lady.
You still are, since you still own the game.
I haven't played it in
a long time. I'm sure all your cats are dead. Because you stopped caring for them. They're probably all like, and they're all skeletons. There's no milk in the saucer.
That's a horrible visual. But I used to play with my cat.
You're a virtual cat killer.
Stop it.
And we wonder why cats are evil and are playing the jingle for the world.
I am not a digital pussy killer. Don't put that out on the
digital
web.
Digital pussy killer.
Not good.
Glad you didn't get Nintendogs.
Stop it.
Anyway.
So that's mine.
Wow, sis.
What?
For one, I have to say,
it was a gift, dang it.
I know.
And you never look a gift game in the mouth.
No, sometimes you just re-gift it to younger people.
But it was an anniversary gift.
I know.
So,
but still.
I have
okay.
The cat game. Shut
all
up.
Right, so you have Nintendo Cat.
I have my cat game.
You are
Shut
a
up.
Virtual cat lady.
Shut up.
Who ignores her cats.
Look.
And I bet you put them in your, like, digital
Stop
freezer.
It. Stop it.
And have become a digital cat hoarder.
No.
And your house is full
I
of
also did
cat
not.
Bodies.
I also did not turn them into remote control helicopters like the dude.
Cat copter.
No, seriously.
I don't want to know. I
no,
don't
no, no,
know.
Seriously. No. There's a dude in Norway. His cat died. And so
he turned it
instead,
into
yeah, instead of having it mounted, he filled it with all the electronics and stuff and turned it into, like, you know that,
oh, I don't want to know.
Parrot drone that you can control with your iPhone?
Yeah.
So it has the blades on four.
Is it its tail?
No. So it sprawled out like a flying squirrel.
Oh my god.
And it has drone like blades at the ends of its paws. Yes.
That is wrong. On 18 different dimensions.
There's a video on it. I'm not like that.
I am not searching it out. That hurts my soul.
Seriously. Like,
I know that you loved your cat, bro.
I know, but seriously, bro.
Get a nice box.
You know,
put a nice $6 pillow in it.
I mean, I thought that people that mounted animals after they died.
Make that song, you know, play that song, Live or Let Die.
Let it
and
die.
And bury your cat in the backyard.
You know.
Put some nice rocks.
No,
maybe some
look,
flowers.
Even if you want to have a sentimental moment, you know, put on some Coldplay. Invite some people over. Say some words. You know, but don't turn them into flying helicopters.
flying cat saucers.
Cap-copter.
Anyway. Bro, so, thank you very much for being
that's
honest.
My, you know what, and I feel better. Thank you for letting me be honest and getting that off my chest because I needed to do that, I think,
you
for me.
So welcome.
So thank you for being so supportive.
Of course, it's what I'm here for.
You're awesome.
Sometimes.
How can I help you? Now, you need to have your epiphany.
Yes.
Panda?
Yes.
What dirty shame have you been carrying that's really not
honestly
dirty? It's not shameful. It's okay.
Honestly, for me,
share with the group.
Like, I had the hardest time narrowing it down to one because I've had so many interesting experiences with games. For the first one, I'm totally gonna throw some real life friends under the fucking bus.
Oh, ooh.
Okay, so
juicy.
I have a pair of friends. they date each other and live with each other, and they're madly in love, and I'm envious of them all the time.
You'll have it one day.
Maybe. And, but I looked to them. Right. And they finally went and got themselves an Xbox. And right. I was like, hey, I've got a whole lot of games I'm going to let you guys have so that you guys can play your console.
Yeah.
When you guys start developing your library, just give them back to me.
What's up?
Because
you're a good supportive friend.
I'm a good friend.
Yeah.
You know, and I figured since the dude was a gamer himself that he would know proper etiquette for discs.
Well, right.
He let the female, who was very curious about games...
But was not a gamer herself at the time.
Was not a gamer...
At the time.
It is still kind of...
Come on, be nice. This is a supportive place.
She's right on the line of becoming a casual gamer.
She's becoming casual.
And she kind of ruined my Fable 3 disc. Which I'm sure on one of these shows I've ranted about. In the past. But she bought me another one, so we're cool and whatever.
As long as you replace it, man.
She replaced it.
Because it didn't mess up your save or anything.
Nope,
so.
it was just the disc. And I mean, I kept the disc as a reminder to myself. But that's beside the point.
Never let your shit out of your sight again.
Nope. Or have a registry and check every 2 weeks on how your games are doing.
That's what you gotta use Delicious Library for, man. Scan it in, scan it out.
But anyway, when they returned a slew of my games, I noticed that there was a game... in the pack that was not mine.
Wait. You came back with bonus game?
I came back with a bonus game. So at first my initial reaction was, okay, maybe they did that by accident. To which I called and said, hey, there was another game with the games you gave me back. And they're like, you can keep it. And they hung up.
And I was like, oh, no. It's like when people drop off their game, be like, it's your child.
Exactly. And they just dropped it on me. And it's a Sonic game for the Xbox 360. And it's during the era of Sonic that I don't like to count as initial canon. Like, I don't like to consider
it
canon.
Oh, is it the Sonic that you actually disavow exists?
Mm-hmm.
So yep. You have one of those?
Uh-huh. And they got it pre-owned.
Well,
so
of course
they
did.
So it's got the used sign on it. I'm like, I can't believe someone actually put this in their console, but whatever. And I was like, you know what? Let me... give this a shot.
Well, that's more of an inherited embarrassing game.
But, for one, I'm putting them on block because they should be embarrassed that they had to abandon this game. They could have just returned it and got, like, $4 back on it.
But they didn't even want to stroll
into
this.
They didn't even want to go to GameStop and be like, look, we made a mistake.
We made a horrible, horrible mistake.
So they were just like, let me just pawn this off. And here's the thing. I put it in, got to the loading screen and said, I can't even do it. But I still own it. And it still sits with my collection of games.
Wow.
So that's more on their side than mine. So for me, my most embarrassing game...
Telltale Dish, let's do this.
...is a game called Juiced 2. Now, I have to tell you guys now that for one, this means that there was a first because it's the second one.
Yeah.
Which means the game warranted a sequel...
Yes.
And this is during a period where Eshmum was very interested in graphics, and she thought because she couldn't manage to play with multiple buttons on a controller that she thought driving would be the better genre of game.
Yeah, because
for her.
This is when you had a boom with Need for Speed and Gran Turismo. Didn't Project Gotham just hit or get close to hitting around the time?
Right around that time.
Because Juiced was a THQ game, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and it was around the time that drifting became popular because of that really bad Fast and Furious game, right?
Tokyo Drift!
Right? I'm remembering it, right? Right? Because you got more juice for your vehicle the more that you, like, drifted. Yeah, I remember!
And,
wait, they made a second one?
Yeah.
Oh, my God!
And Eshmom was in the... mindset. Of,
wait, you bought a driving wheel because of this?
Yeah.
No!
So...
Panda, no!
This went into the realm of Eshmum wanting to buy anything and all things car-related. So I have several car games that I still own, and I shoveled out decent money for the driving stick and pedal for my mother.
Whose driving stick did you get?
I got the big heavy-duty one, like the one that has the setup... And then the pedal system that goes down below, so you have to set it up, like, on a mount.
Right. But did you get Mad Cats?
No,
did
I actually got, like, the Xbox one.
The Microsoft one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, yeah, she made me play it with her, and I had to fake enthusiasm. And I could not bring myself to throw them out, because every time I've decided I was going to clean out my library and decide on what I was returning, she would see it on the top of the pile and be like, well, you're not getting rid of those, are you? To which I'd go, of course not, Mom. No, these are just my driving. This is my driving
pile.
This is my racing pile.
This is not going back. This is just, hey, don't make a mistake with their driving games.
Which then she had to go and say, well, then why is Resident Evil Raccoon City with it? And then I go, don't even look at it.
That was a mistake.
That's also another embarrassing game of mine, because, and I'm a big RE fan, as all of you guys know, but I got that game at full price on release day. And was so embarrassed by how bad it was.
Right.
And about how happy I was before I went to GameStop and bought it, after I bought it, and then 2 hours later after I beat it.
Okay. It's all right.
I have so much
you're among
love
friends.
For Resident
look,
Evil.
Look, you're among
I
friends.
Just,
Panda,
I wanted
it's
to
okay.
support the franchise.
It's okay.
Resident
it's okay.
Evil 6.
It's okay.
And
it's okay. We've got you. It's okay. It's okay.
I had to try to believe it.
We know.
We
know.
I'm probably getting
okay.
Resident Evil 7.
I know. It's okay.
I can't apologize
no one,
for his actions.
We're not judging you, okay?
Like,
you're
yeah.
my friends. No
but
judgment.
Yeah.
Okay? All right? This is a safe place.
And I still own the bow.
It's okay. You're not a bad person. You're not a bad
person.
You just made franchise choices. It's okay. We've all done it. It's okay. It's okay. You feel better?
Yeah.
You want a biscuit?
No. No. You don't want a biscuit. Anyway, so those are ours.
Yeah, yeah. So
see how this goes? You share, we share.
We all share. It's a good thing. Back and forth, give and take.
We're cleansing. We're bonding. We're bonding right now.
It's a beautiful thing that's happening right now. So I'm really looking forward to your question at the end of this episode.
I know. It's like, I think sometimes.
And you know what? Here's the thing. I appreciate it when you do.
Aww.
There. I said it.
Thanks, bro.
I said it. All right. So let's bounce on now that we're past the sharing stage. One of the things that we did this week, because I, again, yet haven't picked up Disney Infinity, so at some point in time, I'm going to talk about Infinity. I'm also going to talk about Splinter Cell Blacklist.
I know, you kind of have to get on that.
Yeah, but here's the deal. The deep review is going to be a written review. It's going to be on EGM. Should be up next week. I will keep you guys posted and let you know. Make sure you check us out on Twitter, ESH News. I will put it out on the feeds and let you know when Blacklist is coming. It is basically taking me much longer than any Splinter Cell game that I've played previously. There's just so much to do in it. I'm really enjoying it, but the deep piece you will find on EGM now. All right?
Is it funny that I think Splinter Cell Blacklist, and I also think about James Spader from that show Blacklist?
Yes, it is funny, because I don't even know what show you're talking about.
It's got James Spader in it. It's called Blacklist.
He got blacklisted,
and now he's like taking revenge and getting other people blacklisted, and then trying to get people unblacklisted. There's a lot of blacklisting going on. I don't watch the show, if you haven't noticed. Please correct me when I'm wrong, which is going to be that whole synopsis of the series.
It's a blacklist. He's on it. He's getting more people
on
it.
In the picture, he's wearing a black trench coat with a black hat, and then there's big, bold black letters with red lining called Blacklist. So therefore, I mean, it sounds black and listy to me.
All right, and there's your TV lineup synopses.
Anyway.
Great crack research there, but, Panda.
Yeah.
So anyway, since I don't have those, what I do have are some thoughts from B-Fig. Because
yes, because this last previous weekend, we were in Cambridge, y'all.
Yes, we ventured into the city of Boston, which we don't typically do unless we have, like, some driving reason, being a concert,
a convention,
or booze.
Or, well, no, I'd go to Salem usually for booze. Like, if I want to party it up and I want to feel like a rock star, kind of, sort of, but not really, but I don't want to go to New York because it's too fucking expensive, I go to Boston.
Correct. Boston, the inexpensive New York.
Boston, according to Pantelicious. Cheaper New York. It's quote, better than Connecticut.
Well, true that. True that. Let's get a clap for that. So anyway, we love you, Connecticut.
We love
kind
you.
Of, sort of. You know, Connecticut.
You have nice trees.
Connecticut is like our youngest sibling.
Wait.
No. Think about it. Okay, New York.
Connecticut's like me.
New York is like our older sibling that, like, went to art school and got all hip and was, like, crazy and fun and a little bit out there and wearing weird clothes and, like, had a goth phase or whatever.
And bought the toe shoes.
And now is kind of, like, cleaning up a little bit and had a kid, so it's refiguring out its priorities.
Wait,
and stuff.
Wait, is our sibling married? Because, I mean, if you're having kids and you're...
No. Again... Totally like the hipster thing. So completely out of wedlock and fine with it. Those are good life choices for some people.
Okay.
So, but Connecticut is kind of like our quiet youngest sibling who always wants attention but keeps their room neat. So no,
oh,
not like you.
Definitely not me.
Yeah, no, not you.
Definitely not like Panda.
No. You're like the youngest middle child.
How is that even possible?
So that would be like if you have like four kids. You have the next youngest.
Oh, okay.
So you have two in the middle, one at the top, one at the bottom, two in the middle.
Children often get like ignored, and they're the ones who like.
And that's why I'm saying Connecticut is like the youngest middle child.
Okay.
They do all the things right. They go to class. They keep their room clean.
I went to class. I just didn't keep my room clean.
Okay, you know they like want to be noticed, but they don't really do anything to stand out.
Like, if they decide to dye their hair, they stay in the natural color tone.
Exactly.
Pussies.
That's Connecticut.
If they still get piercings, they're the fake ones that can be just pulled out.
Yay. And Jersey.
They don't even contemplate getting a henna tattoo because for the next 4 hours they contemplate their choice.
Correct. Okay, and then Jersey is like our drunk cousin that you just. You know when you go it's going to be a party, but there's always going to be drama.
Like, the minute you walk in, you're like, ooh, I can feel the drama cakes already.
Yeah, exactly.
The drums of drama.
I fucking love you, Jersey.
Drum.
Don't you ever change. Don't you.
Oh, it won't.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so anyway, back to games. We went to BFIG, which is the Boston Festival of Indie Games. This is the second
annual, which means there was one before.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
And I went to both of them.
And so we attended BFIG for the first time last year. And
together.
By we, I mean ESH. I was not able to go because I literally popped a fever the night before. It was bad.
She put her laptop in the fridge.
Yeah, I thought I was putting it in my bag.
She was cooling it down.
I was. It was not properly, though.
She didn't have a fan.
And then I was putting things in my gear bag that weren't gear. And so it was decided by smarter people than I at the time that I should not operate
you
a vehicle
not go.
Or attempt to talk with people.
So just give Panda your itinerary and she'll figure it out.
Now, the nice thing about it was my itinerary wasn't tight because I had only made 3 appointments.
Yep.
And one of them you were going to tag along with me anyway.
I know.
So it was only 2 additional appointments.
Yes.
So it wasn't like I handed over like an E3 schedule.
It's like, look, this is my itinerary for the week.
Okay.
And into today.
Yeah. You know, so.
And
but,
I need that red stapler.
Yeah, I'm going to need the red stapler. So, I wasn't able to go last year. So this was actually my first BFIG experience. And if you're not aware, the Festival of Indie Games is really focused around bringing together some of the best and brightest indie game developers and publishers in the Boston area to basically talk about what it is that they do, show off their wares, meet new people, network, and really open up the public to the indie scene and create some introductions and basically help grow the community, really, is what I got out of it.
Literally, when I walked in, I literally heard that song from Jay-Z, excuse me. What's your... Like that, but with, like, geeks and game development. Like, it was smooth and sexy.
It really was. It was really nice. It's held at the MIT campus because the MIT...
So your IQ instantly goes up 5 points. Whether or not you keep them by the end of the day, well, that's completely on you.
Yeah, that's up to you.
I kept mine.
Don't squander them. But it's held on the MIT campus, and from all the things that I've heard from other people, there was much more space, and it was much more accommodating and easier to get around this year than last year.
And there was only one whiff of con funk.
It was like a light mist. And here's the thing. I don't even think that it was really con people. I think it was just some of the MIT students.
Ooh, snap, girl.
Well, some of them forgot shoes.
I know, that one dude was just like, I don't have my shoes today.
Like, he was seriously like, I'm not giving a
fuck. He likes to feel the earth underneath his feet.
It's like, I'm walking through campus, I got dreadlocks, and I'm not giving a fuck.
I'm naming that dude
Stinky Boy.
Nah, I was gonna call him Matt.
Yeah.
Matt or Dave or
Stinky Boy.
Derek.
Stinky Boy. Stinky Derek.
Or Aiden.
Stinky Aiden.
Stinky Aiden.
Stinky Aiden.
We don't know who you are, Stinky Aiden, but keep living the dream.
It's all you, bro.
All you, bro.
But it was really cool to see so many people there. And one of the things that's great about BFIG is that it's free to attend and it's open to the public. And there were a lot of families, a lot of kids that were there.
Yes, a lot of kids.
It was a beautiful day in Cambridge. You know, it wasn't too cold. There was no rain. So I think that helped a lot of people.
It got a little cloudy as we were leaving Cambridge, but that's just because it was sad we were leaving.
Exactly. But it was really cool to see, you know, families coming and trying different games and just the amount, sheer amount of, you know, independent, and I'm not just talking console games, but also tabletop. There were some mobile games that were on display.
They even had indie, they had like an indie concert.
Yeah. Video Game Orchestra was there, and a couple of other artists.
DJ Cutman was there.
Yeah, and so it was really cool.
I know Bright Primate was hanging around, but I don't think he was performing. I think they were just hanging around.
But it was really cool because it seemed like a super condensed PAX East, specifically focused on IndieCade. It was like the mega indie booth at PAX became
its own con.
Maximum uber mega.
The
booth.
Uber indie mensch convention.
Yeah, sure. That's what it felt like. So we really spent a lot of time kind of walking around the games demos area, the digital showcase, and trying as many different things as we possibly could, because it is only a one-day event.
And I mean, and we even got in some panels.
Yeah, we went to a couple of panels, and we also watched one movie, because we had already seen Indie Game, the movie, which was showing. So it was really interesting for me to see how there was first the expo where you can actually just, you know, sit and play games and talk to the developers and get hands-on with things. Then there was a parallel track of talks.
Yep. The lightning talks were phenomenal. Were
really cool. I'm going to talk about those. But there were a series of talks as another track that was running for people who were really wanting to learn about game development and maybe trying to figure out whether or not they wanted to try and...
It was really an avenue that they really wanted to
go down or not, or pursue.
And understand what it means to make
and what it takes. And those series of talks were really cool. And then there were just some entertainment pieces that were another track. And those were different movies. Some were educational, some were just fun throughout the day. And then ending with, you know, the concert piece. And so I thought it was really well thought out and organized this year.
Very
And we tried to touch upon a little bit of everything during our time. Three of us were able to go. So it was me, Panda, and KBD, and it was...
No Borders, No Race.
Yes, and it was really cool as we kind of fanned out, talking with different people, and, like, I did some people watching for a while, and just seeing, you know, what other press outlets came to cover it. As we were leaving, Chronicle, which is a local...
Was slated to show up. We don't know if they actually came.
Well, as we were leaving, though, they were coming up because they had that big bomb ass red camera.
Oh, of course they did.
And I was like,
give me that camera.
I was drooling as I was walking away from it. But Chronicle is a local community focused broadcast show. I think every freaking major city has one that focuses on what's going on in your area.
I mean, if Chronicle's not enough, you know, Brian O'Halloran was totally the MC for the whole event.
Yeah, Brian O'Halloran was the MC for the day.
And, like, we totally got to, like, watch
him. Yeah, we accidentally got to watch an interview with Brian O'Halloran, which
was
really cool.
That's what happens when you do it in the media room, because you know what? We're media.
You know what happens? Shit goes down in the media.
I'm not going to get up just because you're doing an interview. I'm just going to be quiet.
Yeah, I'll be super quiet.
I'm going to watch it out of the corner of my eye. Hi, Brian O'Halloran.
Shh, don't worry.
You're not supposed to even be here today.
We weren't even supposed to be there.
We weren't supposed to be there today.
But we were. We turned the thing on itself.
But oh my God, that was nice. Granted, he did the opening ceremony, so we saw him at the beginning of our day because we went to the opening ceremonies. And he was pretty much that filler guy in between what was going on in the main room for talks and movies and stuff like that.
And he did a great job emceeing the day.
Wonderful job.
You know, tip of the hat to Brian on that. One of the things that I wanted to talk about, you know, because like I said, the day was really gorgeous and it was just so cool to be a part of it. But one of the things that I really enjoyed were the lightning talks. And lightning talks, they happen across a lot of different pieces of industry. Some places have, you know, elevator pitches, speed dating. But lightning talks, it's the same premise. It's that you have a bunch of people. They have a short amount of time. There's a single theme. And then everybody runs and does their bit, pitch, whatever, around the theme for their time. And then once it's done, you move on to the next person.
See, and here I thought Lightning Talks was going to be like Square Enix, bringing...
I know, you got all excited.
I was like, no, I was ready to be like, please don't tell me. That's where I thought it'd be wise to bring the voice actress for Lightning to come and, like, state her claim, because I'm done. I'm done with Lightning.
I know, but you were, like, really...
I was like, please don't let that be the case. And then I was like, oh, no, it's something else that's far more important. Good job.
Yeah, yeah.
Good job, B-Fake.
And we should go to that. Like, that was your reaction.
I know.
Like,
I was like,
is this... Oh, wait, no, it's something else. Oh, we should go to it.
We should stay.
I was like, okay. So I moved one of my appointments around. And then as it turns out, the appointment was actually part of the lightning talks. So then I felt like less of a douche. Because I was like, hey, you weren't going to be able to meet me at that time anyway because you're going to be talking. Hey.
And cool. I watched you do it, not to be creepy or anything.
No, totally not stalkerish or anything.
Stalking you or anything.
I'm not stalking you at all, Seth. I'm just saying.
I didn't even name drop.
What's up?
But...
Anyway, the lightning talks were really focused around the indie game community, and some people specifically focused on what that community means and what you get, and it was really cool for me to see just how deep and involved and connected the indie game community is.
Now, I'm glad you got that, because as I listen to all of these, this is what I heard. Game jams, community, we're awesome, nerd humor, jams. It's really hard. Jams, game, community. Hey, funny cat picture. Jams.
Well, I mean, there was that going on, too.
Like, I felt like they were like, and at the end, I was like, you know what? I really think I need to go into these game jams.
I mean, here's the thing. Like,
so
we do need to
go. Like, I should go to a game jam.
We do need to go to a game jam. In that, it would be cool to, you know, play some of the games that actually come up.
Because I have no skills like that.
Yeah, I'm not a programmer, so I can't make...
Like, if you want me to draw sketches...
Hey, if you need somebody to come with an idea of, you know, what kind of game you should build, we can totally help you out there, but
like,
beyond that...
Like, if you just want more girls to be around...
We can help you there, too, but as far as, like, building games, not
like coding,
really our skill set.
No.
But it was really cool for me just to learn more of... the culture and really how deep and rich it is, because, you know, you talk about the game jams, which is basically, you know, like a LAN party, except it's a bunch of developers get together, or a bunch of people who want to be developers.
And they time, and they make a game.
And they literally spend the entire amount of time pairing up, teaming up with people, and trying to build a game in the time allotted. And so, you know, it's kind of like a hackathon, but, you know, for building and creating something, which is really cool. And it was interesting for me to learn, you know, just how many areas have started creating shared spaces for independent developers to come together and basically share an office, share resources to build their games, that more and more cities are building those kinds of places so that, you know, there is a safe haven for an indie developer who, you know, maybe doesn't have a whole lot of money or a whole lot of marketing behind them to get exposure to someone who does or can be a mentor to help them get there. And, you know, just seeing all the different tools and resources and ways to show off a game or try to get buzz built. That was really eye-opening for me because, you know, I'm so used to, I think, because of where we've been in the industry and kind of looking at it, I'm so used to developers and people who are creators in the space having marketing teams behind them so they have a plan on how they're going to get the word out about their game and get it in front of people. I'm so used to that being the thing and having to, you know, fight to get somebody at a game company to respond to an email or return a call or send a demo or do an interview to talk about their thing, where on the indie set, it's the complete opposite. They don't have that, so they're desperately looking for it.
They want to know you so bad.
And that to me was kind of like my aha moment. You know, because we love indie games and indie developers, and it's never struck me.
Well, because I think for us, indie games are where the innovative IP is right now. That's where we're going to get those inspired pieces or those people who are dramatic and are daring enough to try something different from...
I don't want to say just that, because I don't want to make it sound like AAA titles aren't daring or innovative or creative.
I'm not saying that they're not, but I'm just saying you see them taking more risks in the indie space because, like in one of the Lightning Talks, you know, you have to do one thing better in your game than anything else for that standing out, that little thing that makes you that much more awesome.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily exclusive to indies. So I just want to make sure that we're very clear that we're not saying that the only creative, daring, out there on a limb, taking risks.
I'm not
things.
Saying that.
We just kind of said we think that we're aligning with that because we're seeing the more innovative, creative, daring.
I feel like we see a lot more heart and risk taking in indie games recently than I have seen in an established franchise AAA title, per se.
I would say...
And that's just my opinion.
I would say that independent developers and independent creators have more license and freedom to get away with and do some things because they're not bound by investors.
They don't get typecast to produce a particular type of game.
And they don't get held back by anybody but their own limitations and their own creations. But what for me kind of was like the aha and the switch was just how desperate and how badly independent developers really need the help of outlets like ours, which are basically independent media outlets, okay? Because it's not like the Times is picking us up anytime too soon to sponsor us, but that they really need outlets like ours and podcasters and bloggers in the blogosphere to really talk about things that resonate with us that they're coming up with and creating because they're not getting it anywhere else, you know? Unless it becomes, and like you mentioned, has that one thing that stands out that helps
it. That one bright, shiny thing.
That helps it rise up above all of the noise and clatter, including the stuff of AAA. It doesn't get found and you know, goes off into obscurity. And
that's
it's just
a
this
shame.
Thing that you built, you know.
Because there's blood, sweat, and tears in all of it. There's passion in all of it.
Okay. Super Meat Boy did really well, but it was because it became known. Fez did really well. It was because it became known and it rose above the chatter. And
Limbo, Journey, you name them.
You know, but at the same time, they also had to do so much more than your Mass Effects that, you know, automatically EA had to deal with and, you know, was being pre-hyped on the panels when you logged into your Xbox or to your PlayStation.
Like,
you know,
look at that theme that I didn't put up.
They kind of have to fight so much more and go things about things more
guerrilla-like. Go things about. Go about things.
Fuck you.
Someone got really passionate that her words didn't make any sense.
I said, fuck you. But seriously, that really kind of struck a chord with me. And so for the rest of the day, I was really trying to seek out a bunch of people that I had never heard of before to try their games, to see what I could find. And I found a couple of things. But one thing that we did spend time with, and I want to talk about as a shared thing, and then I'll let you take over, Panda, and do your thing.
Okay.
But We got to spend some time with Proletariat.
Yes.
And
World Zombination.
And first of all, we loved Proletariat back in the day when it was Zynga Boston, mostly because both my husband and I were trying to get hired there. But then some things happened, and Zynga Boston went away completely. Man. And it was one of those bad news days where we were
bears.
We were pouring out some love for the homies that lost their jobs, because it just seemed like for quite some time there was just more and more word of layoffs and companies folding in the industry than really good news. But a bunch of the people who were survivors of Zynga Boston were able to come together and build Proletariat. So we were really excited when we heard that Proletariat was happening and couldn't wait to find out what they were going to bring to the market. And
to the beefing table.
And I'll tell you what, they didn't let us down.
No.
Because we got to play World Zombination.
World Zombination.
We'll be sure to tweet out some links this week.
And that's how I'm going to say it every time I talk about it.
And you should definitely check it out. And what was really cool about the game, at least for me, was that it is very much a traditional set 'em up, knock 'em down strategy. Tower defense game. The difference with it is that you get to play both sides because, it's World Zombination. You can either play as survivors and defend your humanity, because you're peoples, if you're survivors.
Or you can be a zombie and fuck shit up.
Or you can be the zombie horde and just be going for destruction.
And bring devastation upon the human race, because they're just food.
They really and truly are. And so you have to, pick strategically the types of zombies that you're going to use, or the types of survivors that you're going to use on a level, build them up. They do level up as you play through.
Yeah.
A lot of thought there. We actually got to play the demo on iOS.
On both sides, we got to play both aspects, as a survivor or as the zombie horde.
Yeah, and it looks really well. And I got to tell you, for it being an early version of the game, it runs really, really well.
It's really smooth. I didn't see any hiccups.
Yeah.
I didn't see any lag or any frame rate.
And it's one of the things where, where you have spawn points,
you have,
basically.
You have several spawn points that, and you have to either, zoom in on a particular place when, an outbreak or, an outbreak is happening. And at each spawn point, you're only allowed to have 7 of a type. Not any type, but your team can only consist of 7 of these sprites. And each one has a particular ability.
When you are playing as their survivors.
As their survivors. Well, granted, the zombies also, of World Zombination, also have a degree, a varying degree of different types of infected.
Correct. They just have a range of spawn horde, though.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're the zombie, literally your spawn is just all the zombies.
It's just a mass of zombies making its way.
For the demo itself, because I was curious about how, the timer would run on when certain types of zombies and or survivors would become available, because that is what's really going to determine
your success. Not only picking the right types of characters
but
for
placing
the
them
board
appropriately on your map to give you the most defense and or the most strength.
Correct. And so
defense,
that's where the traditional tower defense comes in. But it's just such a light take on it, where it's, humans versus zombies. And it's really cute. It kind of reminded me of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game on the SNES.
When you zoomed into the game.
Yeah, like when you used to travel and you had to go into the sewers and stuff.
Oh,
that's what the city looked like. But it made me have really quickly that nostalgia, I know exactly what we're doing here and this is so cute, but I really didn't. And just playing it was fun. I found, and I'm going to say this, so this is how you know it's really, really and truly words of praise. I found myself really attracted to playing the zombies more than the humans.
And she's not the zombie
And I don't
person.
Like zombies. There, I said it.
She's not the zombie person.
No, but I really liked the zombie gameplay. It was fun. It was creative.
It was different.
When
we were with them, I was playing it, and she was, watching me, and we were asking questions, everything like that. And obviously,
I was asking Autumn questions.
And she asked all the questions.
I did.
I was playing.
She was playing. I was asking Autumn questions.
And asking
And Lauren answered them all like a champ.
Like a boss. Good for you, Lauren.
Yeah.
Liked your shirt, but, you know, Seth was wearing the same shirt. You guys have good shirts. But
what's up?
I mean, the first thing I did was like,
I wear large.
I want to be a zombie. Boom. Let's do this. I want to kick humanity's ass. And I did. And I did it.
Yeah, because when you look at the map, when you're playing the game, you can basically see, depending upon which faction that you've picked, areas that are under attack right now. And you have to, if you're smart, play areas that you're close to losing so that you can recapture them so that you don't lose the world and or
like, I feel
win
like that's
the world.
Going to be an even more interesting element to the game because you can jump in, because I think the map that I played was Boston.
Yep.
But, like, they had a San Francisco one and Los Angeles and stuff like that. And I think more of them will pop up. So, literally, you will take over the world, essentially. And I love how I think Lauren was telling me that every time you load into a new location that the maps all regenerate, so it's never the same map every time you go
Correct.
In, which I think is another test of skill that gamers are going to gravitate towards.
Right, because you won't play the same level twice in the same way, so you can't always go into it going, okay, well, I'm going into Boston, so I'm always going to need this type, and this type, because the landscape's going to change, and the map is going to be different.
Like and things every time you go into a tunnel, and the map is the exact same.
Correct. So it's very ambitious. And I also love the fact that it's, you know, multi-platform, because it's going to first be out on iOS and Android, but it is going to also come out on PC and Mac. And
we
don't
hurt you because you're including Mac users.
We don't get a lot of good, fun games on the Mac.
I'm making a cute heart with my
hands
right
now. She is. I can verify that.
I'm
going to
take a picture and I'm going to put it on your Twitter.
But it's just so nice. Okay. And that's one of the things as well that I really liked about the indie demo space is that there are a lot of games that were, you know, either through Steam or, you know, just through direct publishing coming out on Mac and iOS. There was a lot of really cool.
We love the Mac move.
We do. But there was really kind of warmed my heart to see so many people developing games and making them available, you know, across everything. Like one of the guys that I spent some time with, his game's coming out on literally everything. iOS, Android,
Linux.
Console. It's freaking coming out. Yes, Linux, because it's coming out on Ouya, one of his stations.
Holy crap.
Yeah, one of his stations was an Ouya station that you could play it on. So, I mean, like, every freaking thing it was coming out on.
All the consoles?
All the consoles. All of them. You know, so it just makes it even more available to more of the gaming community, which is really cool. But I gotta tell you, I really, really digged World Zombification.
World Zombification!
I can't wait for the game to come out. I think the only thing I have to figure out is what I want to play it on. To be honest, it's probably going to be an iPad just so I can take it everywhere, and it could be one of the games that
I
travel with.
I'm going to steal Eshmom's iPad so that I can play it on her iPad.
Well, I mean, because I've gotten to the point now where my iPad is basically stacked with games that I want to play when I'm traveling and movies that I want to play when I'm traveling.
Literally right now, I think what's on there is what? Is Go Home Dinosaurs.
I have Go Home Dinosaurs on my iPad. Another indie title by Firehose. We love you, Firehose.
We heart you.
But I have that on there, and I keep trying to best my scores. I'm trying to get it to the point where I've gotten saved all three stakes
all
on every
stakes.
Level. And I haven't.
The stakes are high.
The stakes are high, but they're not high enough. So I have Go Home Dinosaurs on there. I have, not gonna lie, I have Double Dragon on there. I have Welder on there. I still have Draw Something.
I don't use Draw Something.
I have that on there. I haven't played it forever in a day, but I still have it on there. And I think the only other games that I have on there is I have Tap Tap Radiation, which I like to play because I love music, and it's Wubs, so there you go. I also have Words with Friends still on there, but I haven't taken the time to play it. I have the Flight Control game. We have to land planes.
Yep.
Because I love that game. So I keep a lot of my casual fun, like I can play with no internet games on there and just have a good time, and mostly puzzlers is what I carried on there. But I also have Infinity Blade 2.
Okay.
on my iPad, and then I have a couple of movies, and then my music deck for mixing with my mixer. That's what's on my iPad right now.
So, okay. Well,
so it's kind of like the entertainment hub.
Yes.
That's what's on it.
So is it safe to say that we might see World Zombification?
You will. You will. It, as soon as it is available, it'll be on my iOS. Because I really wanted to kind of walk away with one of the iPads that had it on it.
I'll just take this. Thank you.
Thank you, like, so much. Because I needed something to do this evening that was going to be awesome. And here it is. But I also didn't want to be a thieving bastard, so.
Right, because that's not how you make
friends. That's not how you make friends. That's not how you support the community.
And these guys over at Proletariat, you know, they were the first ones to be awarded one of our coveted Esh buttons.
This is true. They did, in fact, get the first button of show.
The first one, because each of us, Ninja and I, each had 5. And our goal was the people who really impressed us and really stuck to us, made us feel the warms and fuzzies.
We were don't make us sound like assholes. We basically got the buttons, and the whole point of having the buttons were for the games that we went in, because it sounds like we were like, okay, you are special enough to get a button.
You are so awesome, you get a button.
And you should, like, totally covet the fact that you got an Esh button. I don't want to make it sound like that.
I totally would like the people that I gave buttons to be like,
they need to feel special, because, yes, they got a button. Not everybody got buttons. But the whole point of the buttons were to basically let the developers that we talked with, played their games, really enjoyed, and wanted to focus on moving forward, we gave a button so we could keep track of who we gave buttons to.
Yep, which I did.
So that we could keep track of who we wanted to follow up with, because they're all developers that we want to have on the show to talk about their games, to really have relationships with, and not just a one and done at BFIG. So yeah, it was kind of our, not just a business card, but it's a business card and a button, so that you don't forget us.
We want to take you out for a nice seafood dinner, as long as you're not allergic to seafood.
Wear us around, keep us close to your heart, like we'll keep you close to our heart.
Yeah!
That basically is what we wanted to accomplish with a button. And not,
I totally hope that that's what we did.
And not the, okay, you're special, you get a button, your game shit, you don't, because that's not.
Oh my god, look underneath your chairs, there are a button. Aw, oh, so sad for you.
Aw, so sad for you. But that's not what we were trying to do.
But they were the first ones to get.
Wait, yeah, Proletariat got the first button of show. And we gave buttons out to a couple other people as well.
Yeah.
Because we love the stuff that Firehose is doing.
Yeah,
and
Firehose got one.
We will have them on the show again, too, because they have some stuff that they're getting ready to roll. It's going to be kind of cool. And we'll talk with them about all of that. We couldn't find Rami from Vlambeer, because I wanted to give him a button desperately, because I thought that his bonus talk at the end of the lightning talks was really fantastic. So spiritually, Vlambeer got a button from us, and hopefully we'll be able to go down to visit with them soon and give them a button.
I mean, the guy came from, like, South Africa.
Yes, he was a little jet-lagged. I felt
he
bad.
He was so tired.
But it was such a good speech. It was awesome.
But so moving along from
that's a Proletariat. Definitely make sure you check it out. We'll link to it in the post. We will also
link
to
you like crazy.
We'll also put it up on our Facebook page, so you can check out the video. Proletariat Games, Google search them. You definitely want to learn more about them, and keep an eye out. The game is coming in early 2014. I would be surprised if it also didn't appear in other places outside of iOS and PC desktop gaming. So I'm just saying, just throwing that out there.
I get it.
Throwing it out there.
So moving right along, another game that literally blew my mind with zany, fun, over the top, bright colors. It grabs your attention and it doesn't let go, and not that you want it to. Tiny Brains. Tiny Brains from Spearhead Games.
Yes.
I mean, you've got two guys in lab coats. You got to go check it out.
You always have to check out the game
in lab
that
coats.
Has people in lab coats. Something
zany
is
going on, and you know you want to be a part of it.
Yep.
There's a piece already live on EGM now that I wrote about it, but I wanted to talk about it a little bit more because, for one, it will be available November 15th. Right around the same time as a new next-gen console.
As a matter of fact,
it is a launch title.
For the PS4.
And Duke.
That's impressive.
Very impressive. And it literally utterly bashes you over the head, reassembles your head, bashes it again with the co-op aspect.
It's zany co-op.
And
goodness.
You control one of four lab mice rats that have gone through so much testing that they've now manifested a special super human, well, super rat ability.
Super mouse ability?
Super.
Maybe
super,
just a super ability?
Super ability. And they each can work or oppose each other depending on what you're trying to do. So you have, you know, a mouse that has the ability to push things away from it. There's another mouse, he has this magnetic ability that he can grab things. One of them can teleport and change places with one, and one can develop a matter, like a block, that could, like, block something or shield.
So basically, you have a shield, you have a push, you have a pull, you have a teleport.
And you swap, a swap, technically. And these four mice, rats, are kind of sick and tired of being experimented on, and they want to bust out. They want freedom.
They want to break free.
And they do.
Kinda.
You know, and from that, the world is just at their demise. And it is fun. It is colorful. The environments are so interactive that you really have to be paying attention to what is going on because the world is shifting around them at all times. Like, you never should feel secure about where you are because it can change in the matter of a snap.
Yeah, you know, there the levels that we got to play, there were, for instance, there were little baby chickens that were coming and were trying to attack. So it was a traditional defend mission, and you had things coming from all sides. But the environment actually can be used as a weapon, so not only just your powers, but you also have to work in concert as a team. One of the things that the game drives through over and over again is teamwork. The reason why you each only have one ability, and you can only have one of each kind of ability on the screen, is because you all have to work in concert to achieve
your goal.
So on that level, for instance, the back piece of the level was a burner. So you would have to use the swap command to get all of the attacking chickens onto the burners.
Or you could even push them, too. I was the push mouse. So I was just pushing them on the burner or pushing them against the wall or pushing the block against them. So, I mean, there are so many different ways that you can play out a battle scenario in this game. One of the other things that I absolutely really liked hearing about is that this game will not, if you decide to play this solo, will not punish you by giving you three AIs that, you know, will randomize what they do at whatever time that they decide to do it. You're not going to get
Which would harm you more than help.
Yes. This game will actually curb depending on how many active players you have on screen. So if you only got three, then the level itself will conform itself to be challenging, but also still achievable with those abilities on screen. And it has a great hop-in, hop-out ability, which I know I'm a big fan of in my games when I can just hop into something.
So just in case you have to jump up and wee.
You know, like, if you got pee real bad, you don't have to worry about
stopping,
you know,
the whole level for everyone.
Yeah.
Just so you can answer nature's call.
You can totally take that cough for like 15 minutes.
Yep.
The world will not miss you.
Nope. Well, I mean, they might miss you if you're a good friend, but they won't be like,
I mean, they might miss you if they kind of really needed that block.
Right.
But I am so looking forward to this game. I feel like it's going to be a great exercise for the mind, and I think it's going to be a great
party game for sure.
Motivating exercise for friends, especially friends who are having problems. I think it's going to be a great therapeutic.
Does it have online play?
It does have online play, and I do believe, I mean, granted, they did not really confirm this or not, but I feel like they're going to do online co-op, but I also think there's going to be a option for local, so couch play if you want to do that.
Of course there's couch play. We were playing couch play.
Yeah. So, I mean, but they have those options available, and, I mean, thumbs up to you guys. Like, Spearhead, you guys get thumbs up. I think they got my second button.
They, in fact, did get your second button.
So, but I'm looking forward to seeing what will come out of the tiny brains, and I think everybody else should be also.
Yeah, if it's not on your radar, these games really should be on your radar. You know, Tiny Brains and Proletariat, Proletariat's World Domination.
World Domination.
Very polished, ran great. I think we tried to play Tiny Brains a second time, but there was just such a
massive line
of people. We really couldn't take the time to go through it again.
I'm just going
to
watch.
And it was, and that's one of the things that I really liked about both games that we talked about today is that as a spectator, it was also fun to watch somebody play those games.
Like, I didn't need popcorn. I didn't need to eat.
You know, while you were playing World Domination, I was really just enjoying watching you play the game and how you develop your strategy for getting
kill
where you
all
needed
the zombies
to.
Or eat all the humans.
And then after we finished playing Tiny Brains, it was really fun to watch other people jump up and, you know, figure out how to work as a team and traverse and what goes where and those kinds of things. And also have other people, you know, rah-rahing you on as you were doing stuff.
I know, like, you gotta roar. Like, they had this goal in mind that if you reached a certain
1,000 meters in the last challenge.
1,000 meters in the challenge, it was challenge 3, that you got t-shirts. And one team, the team that went before us was, like, at 800. And I'm like, oh, God, we totally got this. And it's me, Ninja, and, like, two other people. I think one was a dude. And
yeah.
Another dude person.
And one was a dude person's girlfriend because the dude had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. And and we got to, like, 6. We were so close to the other team. And, like, we're like, oh, pull this over here. I'll make this block to block this thing. Hey, you swap. And, I mean, and we're all just talking and just, it was great.
Yeah, it was really fun because, I mean, it was like, you know, just like playing a game online. I had this guy going, all right, we need teleport on the right. We need teleport on the right. And
I mean,
I'm like, I'm
getting
there.
Calling,
and I'm like,
I feel like he does that
I
a lot.
I feel like he's done that before.
He's got great command. And I'm like, nope, I'm on it. Shaboom! And, you know, we're like, woo! And even
and everyone
it,
behind
we were,
us was cheering us on as well. And I love it when games bring people together like that. And the same thing happened with World Domination. It was just a little bit smaller because there were more people over at Tiny Brains checking that out. But, you know, there were all kinds of great games that were there. We really had a wonderful time. And I got to tell you, if you don't, you really should check in. Find out what's going on in your local indie scene. Get to know those people. Check out their stuff. Like I said, I mean, we are going to be going to some of the local postmortems as well as checking out at least a game jam. Because damn, if those lightning talks didn't
wanna,
sell
I
us on
go
going
to a game
jam.
And I want to bring jams with me.
I want to go to a game jam
like
and bring
here,
pom-poms.
Here's some strawberry jam.
I just want to bring pom-poms. And I want to cheer everybody on.
Yay, make that game. Make that game. Code that thing.
M-E-S. Games, games. They are the best. Go games.
Go games.
Go games.
Go games.
Woo! Developers.
Developers?
No.
It's okay.
No.
Developers.
Bad panda. No. That's all I got. That's it.
Yeah.
B-Fig was awesome. We walked our little legs off.
We saw Quidditch, bitch.
Yeah, that's true. There was a Quidditch game.
MIT.
And I don't mean like a Quidditch game that somebody built for like.
No, like literally
no, it was
five
live,
people
live
with brooms between their legs,
Quidditch
color-coded
game.
With
yeah,
red
MIT
dodge
has Quidditch
balls,
team.
Throwing them through red hula hoops.
People, MIT has Quidditch games.
Quidditch matches.
In IRL.
Like in
they
real
have,
life.
They have teams. You can sign up to play Quidditch.
We saw some Gryffindors, one Ravenclaw, and I think like a Hufflepuff.
Yeah, the Hufflepuff was
one Hufflepuff dude.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Holy shit, Quidditch!"
Yep, we had to stop and watch that. That was
awesome. I have some video, but I don't think I can put it up because I could get sued.
No, I don't think you could. Well, yeah, you could get
I
sued.
I could
because we didn't ask them permission. So don't put that up. But we do have proof.
But proof.
So if you see us, you can ask us for it. We'll show you
the
proof.
We'll show you the proof because we have it. And I was like, that is the second most awesome thing that I've seen all day.
Alright, so at this point in time, it's time to start wrapping it up. It's time to start talking about business because we're almost out of time. So first of all, I want to thank you all for tuning into the podcast, whether you're listening to it through iTunes or if you're listening to us on the Voice of Geeks Network. Voice of Geeks.
Because you're participating.
Network, you know, VOG. Because you're
Voice of Geeks. Yes. See? And everyone else thought they heard geeks,
well, you
too.
That's why I am not eating anything right now, so I can
She's
enunciate.
Pronouncing properly.
I am enunciating well.
Ooh. Enunciating.
Because that's what I do sometimes.
She does what she does and she does what she does.
Nope. Not going there. So you are checking us out before you get to check out DJ Ranma S and Anime Jam Session. Make sure that you check out that show. It's good stuff, as well as all of the great entertainment that's available on Fog. You can catch our podcast on Mondays on our site, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use our short address, which is
ESH.co. That is ESH.co. The short address will bounce you to our main page, home of where our podcasts are. However, we are now also over at the Fog Network, and we air over there on Tuesdays.
Tuesdays.
At 8 Eastern Standard.
So make sure you tune in, check it out. You can also check out some of the other shows that are part of our network with No Borders, No Race.
Rebranded, refocused,
still hosted by our homeboy KBD, King Baby Duck, on Tuesday. Definitely want to check out what's going on there for all kinds of goodness. Music, indie groups,
discussion,
really and truly artsy, crafty, creative. You just gotta listen to it. Trust us. It's really cool, really awesome. We're so proud to have No Borders, No Race back on board with the family. On Wednesday, brand new episode of the Geek Aggro Podcast. Fresh beats, newness in your ear, curated by our homeboy, Deuces Wild. Make sure you check that out each and every Wednesday for your oral pleasure. And I am talking about your ears, people. On Thursday, you got a brand new episode of the Issues program. Because if you got issues,
he's got issues.
Y'all can talk about your issues together, call in live, and just be part of the experience that is the Issues program.
Be a part of the healing.
And then for the rest of the week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, you can interact with us on Facebook. We post our question of the week there, so you can share your answers with us there, and they'll be shared on our podcast. Or you can tweet us at ESH News, all lowercase, to answer questions, come up with stuff you want to share, just chit-chat with
us,
tell us what you think about our articles and stuff, which you'll find over at egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. It's where all written reviews and previews will be, as we're part of the EGM Now Partner Network, so that's where you'll find all of that content. And with that said, it's time for me to turn to my sister and ask her what the question of the week is. Because it's a thing, people.
It's our thing now.
So, Panda.
Yeah.
What's the question of the week?
The question of the week is, what is your favorite indie game?
Oh, it's topical because we just came back from beefing.
Yeah, because I thought like that.
Oh, man, look at you tying things in, trying to be all marketing and stuff.
I'm trying.
All right, so you heard the lady.
Favorite indie game. At ESH News.
Yep, so use the hashtag MyFaveIndie.
Yep, MyFaveIndie.
INDIE. And let us know what's your favorite indie game. We'll share some of our favorites and the responses that you give us on our show next week. Plus, we'll tell you
what our favorite indie games are.
So there you have it. As always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Panda Licious.
And we're out of here.
And up next, Anime Jam Session.